Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, congratulations. It is well with you in the name of Jesus. The theme for the Redeemed Christian Church of God North America is glory ahead. Glory ahead. We heard about this glory ahead, you know, last Sunday. You know, and we're going to continue. But today, a sub-theme out of that glory ahead is because we look at conditions that your glory can stay with you. And you can always swim in that glory last week. So today, one of the conditions, and it's in a question form, can God vouch for me? Can God vouch for you? Praise the Lord. And there's this passage I was going through during the week, which I want us to read. Jeremiah chapter 35. We read from verse 1 to the end. Can God vouch for me? As we celebrate this anniversary, will God vouch for you? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jeremiah 35. We read from verse 1 to the end. So that we all read together, I would have loved that we'll read just one version, maybe the New King James Version. Is there anybody with the New King James Version? Can the technical give us the New King James Version? So that it will be rhyme, because I really want us to understand this thing. Can God vouch for me? Can God vouch for you? For anybody who is to swim in glory and be in glory and enjoy the glory that is ahead of us, God must be able to vouch for that individual. If God cannot vouch for you, forget it. I believe it was because God can vouch for Abraham. That was why I told him, that your son, your only Isaac. Remember, at that time, Ishmael and the mother have left the house. God has instructed him to restitute, send Ishmael and the mother away. And they have already been sent away. So it was only Isaac remaining in the house. And God told him, that your Isaac, go and sacrifice him for me. It was not to let you know that God has a sense of humor. It wasn't a this journey. It wasn't that the man just said, okay, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to close my eyes. I will obey God. So he took the knife, got the son behind the house, and slaughtered him. It wasn't like that, though. He made a journey of 3 days. 3 solid days. You know, if I was Abraham, don't you think I would have turned back? A lot of things will be going through my mind. And he was walking towards the mountain where God has shown to him 3 solid days. Look, it was a grace. So God gave him the grace. God will give you grace in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
For God to be able to vouch for you, you must have the grace. Can God vouch for me? Can God vouch for you? I pray that God, in his infinite mercies, we vouch for each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So let's read the passage. The word wish, okay, in order not to struggle because it is far, I will read from here. Praise the Lord. So just follow me. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabites family. Invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. Okay? So, like God has told me now, said, okay, go to the house of the Agbolas. You have the Agbolas there? Okay. Invite them to to one of the side rooms, that is all these rooms that we have them available. Bring wine before them and let them drink. That's exactly what happened. So I went to get Jasaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Azaniah, Habaziniah, and his brothers, and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabites. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Iglia, the man of God. It was next to the room of the officials, which was over that of Maaseiah, son of Shalom, the doorkeeper. Then I set bowls full of wine and some cups before the men of the Rechabites' family and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine because our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, gave us this command. Neither you nor your descendants must ever drink wine. Also, you must never build houses, sow seeds, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab, son of Rechab, commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons, our daughters, have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had vineyards, fields, or crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and the Aramean armies. So we have remained in Jerusalem. 12. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Go and tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words? Declare the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his sons not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day, they do not drink wine because they obey their forefathers' command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again, I sent all my servants, the prophets, to you. They said, each of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you will live in the land I have given to you and your fathers. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefathers gave them. But these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I am going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounce against them. I spoke to them, but did not listen. I called to them, but did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather, Jonadab, and have followed all his instructions and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me. Praise the Lord. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of his word in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, let's review that passage. A man called all his people. His children, their wives, and everything, his family together, ordered them never to drink wine. You know, and they obey. You know, and to make that sample, God told Jeremiah, go back to that family in Jerusalem who has never tasted wine in their life. Prepare wine. Bring it near the synagogue or the temple or near the church. Set it before them. Let them realize that a man of God has given them that wine to drink. Let's see what will happen. These people never drank that wine. They said, no, never. Our forefather has ordered us never to do it. I will never. So, at the end of the day, I discovered that there aren't many places in the Bible where God was so confident of a people's resolve that he prompted someone to go and test them to prove a trust, you know, and get an expected outcome. It's very, very, it's not so many in the Bible where God is so confident. Apart from that of Abraham, I'm sure God was so confident in Abraham that Abraham will not disobey. Look, you look at yourself, the only son you have, at what age? Maybe 116 years as at that time, when you're already preparing to go to the grave. A son that you have been praying for since you were 75. Okay? 75 when he was called out. 86, after 11 years, Ishmael came. God said, no, that was just a mistake. The real child is coming. And that child now came at the age of 100. And when he was about 114 and 116, God said, go and see. You know, it's because God trusted him. God has that confidence in him. And it was recorded for him as righteousness. I pray your righteousness will not be expunged in the mighty name of Jesus. Remember when Christ was also leaving the earth, he was confident in Peter. You know that Peter will carry on the work of the gospel. But he still asked Peter three times. John 21, if you read it. John 21, verse 17. He still asked Peter three times. Peter, do you love me? And what did Peter answer? He said, I love you. And what was Jesus' response? Feed my sheep. So they said that by the time he asked Peter the third time, Peter was, what is wrong? You know I love you. What happened during that crucifixion was just, you know, something just shifted. You know, it's not that I really wanted to deny you. You know, I just don't know what happened. But I love you. Praise the Lord. So, exactly, this is what happened in this passage that we have read, Jeremiah 35:2. God prompted Jeremiah, go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of his chambers, give them wine to drink. So, without asking God any question, Jeremiah obeyed his instruction, called on the Rechabites into the house of the Lord, set wine before them, brought cups, brought bowls, you know, and said to them, bring wine. I'm sure it was also supplied with some suya. You know what suya is? So that they can, everything can be the aroma. You know? But as God expected, the response of the Rechabites was remarkable and it was filled with lessons for all. Look at verses 6 to 10. The Bible records, but they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, you shall drink no wine, you nor your sons forever. You shall not build a house, sow seed, plant a vineyard, nor have any of these. But all of your days you shall dwell in tents, that you may live many days in the land where you are sojourners. So thus, we have obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he charged us, to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, our daughters, nor to build houses for ourselves to dwell in, nor do we have vineyard, field, or sea. So God not only commanded us, you also know you will never be farmers, you'll be nomads. And you know what nomads do? They are pastoralists. So you will be animal keepers. And you will live in tents. And God will make your life, you know. And this was their forefather. And they obeyed that word. God backed up, you know. And that was why they have prospered. But on few occasions in our world, we have people saying, our parents taught us from infancy. Haven't we heard that before? That we should not do this or do that. It is hard to see any group of people today that will come out to say that they have obeyed all that their parents taught them. I don't know. Maybe I'm overgeneralizing. But I believe it is not everything that our parents taught us that we have obeyed into two. There are sometimes, you know, we wobble along the way. We eventually come back, you know, but at least. But in this case of these people, they have obeyed everything. So the question is, if we find it so difficult to obey instructions from people whom we could see and whom God has put over us to guide us, how much more difficult it is to obey instructions from God, whom we cannot see physically. An example abounds in the children of Israel. You know, I think that this question is very difficult to answer. Our teachers, I remember when I was in high school, we must tuck in our shirt. You know, put on, if you wear long sleeve, you must button it up. But I still don't know what happened. I don't know. I don't like tucking in my shirt. I don't know why I just, and there was this teacher, I will never forget him. One day, accosted me as I was going to the classroom and he beat hell out of me. God, he beat me. In fact, it is now that I'm learning that it was nothing but child abuse. Because that time I thought it was justified. As I sat down in that classroom with pains in my body, I told myself, it is you. Why don't you obey simple instruction? But now I'm discovering that it's child abuse. That man really physically abused me. But that was by the way. Now, that is man that you see. We won't obey him. Talk less of the one we don't even see. That's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. Exodus 32. If you read Exodus 32, Moses has just left. God, they saw God coming down. Maybe, I also reflected over it. I said, maybe because they didn't see God in form of an object, you know, physically. Maybe if as God descended in fire and brimstone, they all saw it. The mountain was. But, you know, man, very inquisitive. They might have been looking for a face to come out of that something. But a face never came out. Okay. Immediately, 2 or 3 days after, Moses with the cloud went and disappeared. What did the children of Israel do? You know, Moses has been with God on the mountain for only a few days when the people gathered around Aaron and demanded that he make them God that would go before them. To them, as at that time, Moses was gone with that fire. You see, the first time I read this story, I judged the children of Israel. I said, how can people be so stupid? Eh? You saw fire, you saw everything. And less than 2 weeks, you know, you have started asking for another God. So I condemned them in my heart. But not more than a week after that, something happened in my life. And the Holy Spirit told me, what is the difference between you now and the children of Israel that you are condemning a few days ago? Man, the moment we don't see something physical, that is why some of our people are so fetish. What is it that you want from God? Jesus Christ told us, taught us, anything you ask in my name, and believe it, said you have received it. Said number two, don't be like the Pharisees who like to pray, you know, on the streets, by the street corner, so that people will see them and commend them and say, oh, this is a man of God. Said, don't be like them. Said, they have already taken their reward. Say, when you want to pray, what we should do, should we do? Go into your closet. Close your door. Kneel down. Talk to God. And God who sits in secret will do what? Will reward you openly. But why won't our people pray? We won't pray because we are fetish. Like I always said, because we have not visited one herbalist who has told us to bring a goat. And that's when we start believing in. He will have put a shock here, put some mark here, so you will think it's seen into the, you know, into the other heavens. You know, not knowing that he's as blind as yourself. Eh? And ask you to bring this, bring that, and then mix everything together, bond everything together, match everything together, and then put something in there, put into the air, and ask you to now start chanting some incantation. You don't know that the prayer you are praying is more than incantation. Praise the Lord. So are there still people on earth today for whom God can vouch? Can God vouch for you? Or can God vouch for me? Now the question is, do our daily attitudes show that God can probably say, this is my son, this is my daughter? Even at work, can somebody point to you and say, oh, this is a child of God? Let's think about this. Are we living a life of obedience to God's words? Let's think about that. Can God probably send someone to come and test our actions or reactions to certain tests? You know, I have faced some tests myself. You know that. There was one day I told you, shortly after our anniversary. I didn't remember what we did. Myself and the pastor of Rema Assembly, we stopped there and we were discussing. And one homeless guy came asking for food. Immediately I saw him from afar. I judged him. God will have mercy on us. God will have mercy on us. This man perceived in the spirit that we are pastors because he saw us standing in front of a church. He perceived in the spirit and he approached us for food. And lo and behold, we judged him. I judged him. I felt sorry. This was after. But that was a test that I failed. And immediately, just to wriggle out of the guilty conscience, I told him I don't have cash. And true, I didn't carry cash. Then I showed him my purse. Then the man saw several cards. He said, buy me food with this card over there. I didn't do it. You know, how much will I have spent buying him? Maybe maximum $10. But I didn't do it. May you not fail when God tests you in the mighty name of Jesus. I learned my lessons at that time. You know. Can we stand in the face of temptations? Does our godliness subsist when there is no one looking at us? When it is you alone, what do you have? What type of thoughts? You know that some of our thoughts are very, very sinful. You have to be careful. And this is what happened to the children of Israel. God grew frustrated and tired of trying to make Judah, you know, to obey his voice, live according to his instructions. If you read verses 12 to 14 of that Jeremiah 35 that we have read. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will you not receive instructions to obey my words? Says the Lord. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For up to this day, they drink no wine and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. As man cannot continue in sin and expect God's grace to continue, he made up his mind to punish Judah in order to make them see reason to come back to him. But before doing that, he wanted Jeremiah to compare the obedience of Rechabites to the disobedience of Judah. And that's what God is asking us today too. Some of us, what our parents have taught us, since that teacher beat hell out of me, I started talking in. You know? But does that mean that I obey every instructions that come from God? No. God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. So in the end, God promised to bring doom to Judah. And in contrast, he promised the Rechabites that they will not lack a man to stand before him forever. I pray you will not lack righteousness in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not lack somebody that will continue to prosper your generation in the mighty name of Jesus. So if you are sure that God cannot vouch for you in your current state, there is need for us this morning again to repent and cry for forgiveness. If you know what we are doing is not Christianic, if you know that the way we behave, people cannot see us and say we are children of God, this is another opportunity. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. He's waiting to receive us back. He's waiting to receive me back. Remember, Psalm 30, verse 5. It said, weeping endureth for a night. But what comes in the morning? Joy. The only thing is for us to be able to recognize where we have failed and come back to him. Joy, I wish you. Your joy will never diminish in the mighty name of Jesus. As we look forward to a new year, I pray that God will continue to be our anchor in the mighty name of Jesus. So that we will continue to live for him without drifting in the mighty name of Jesus. Today, we celebrate our ninth year. And you have heard history. We started in one abandoned hotel room somewhere in South Holland. Two Sundays, many people did not remember that even after we left that hotel, we went to another hotel. On Austin. They call that place Ezucrest, if you remember. Many people didn't remember that in the history that we are telling. We went to that place. That place, what happened? We were not many, but what happened? We were sitting on ourselves. This place was so small. We were sitting on ourselves. We are not even many, but we were even sitting on ourselves. I remember the guy taking the money. When I get there on Sunday morning, say, you have come. Okay, don't worry. Let the people finish eating. And we pay him $50. The $50 never goes. It's not an official. It just goes into his pocket. You know? The first, where we started two, we have spent two, that one too, it was not official. The guy just said, come, don't worry. It is God who just wanted us to start. Because if you have been looking for space, we are looking for church to accommodate us, we are looking for a front shop. We didn't find any. Until I approached this guy, he said, don't worry, come. Not knowing that where he's going to take us was an abandoned place that is not even conducive for people to stay. And we know with our nature, we will make noise. We will shout. So after two Sundays, at least one of the supervisors warned him that you know that building is a dangerous building. These people that are beating drums and are shouting, if it collapsed on them, that very Sunday he came and said, I don't want to see you here again. Don't come again. You know? And well, after he said that, I said, okay, don't worry. We will find a new place. So I remember I came back home thinking of new place. Where can I find new place? Then it now occurred to me that I have left my Bible in the place. So it was while I was driving back to get my Bible that the Holy Spirit was asking me, what time do you have during the week to look for an alternative space so that Sunday you can still gather together as a church? Then I discovered that I didn't have any time. So that was why that very Sunday I started driving around. Then I got to that hotel is pulled down now. Super 8, if you remember. Super 8. It's not only the space. When you come in, what happened? Oh, wow. The smell of cigarettes. One day I asked myself, I said, do you think the Holy Spirit can abide with you in this place? I asked myself that question. Cigarettes everywhere. But God kept on helping us. Then we were moved to the restaurant. From the restaurant, we moved to under the bridge. Under the bridge, I think we were about 2 years under the bridge when we thought we were even established. I remember I had one small office there that I felt so confident to use. One small office like that. I felt so proud with that office. You know, I love that office. Very small and cozy. I used to invite people from my workplace. I said, meet me in my office. And they would come and say, oh, Pastor, this is your office. I said, yeah. I was so proud of that office. Very small. You know? And One day, it was a Tuesday, I just saw the city notice there. After we had spent about 2 years there, said we have to vacate. Said, don't mind them. Somebody advised me, said, remove your signboard. And I remember, that paper signboard brought some people, some souls into the church. That paper signboard that we put there, said, remove it. But the question is, if I removed, how would people know that we are there? Truly we remove that paper and we're there until the zonal pastor called me one day. I said, what is going on? I said, this is what is, are you still there? You want to put God into disgrace? And then he said, I don't want to see you there on Sunday. You see, we obey man more than we obey God. So I don't want to, it was the zonal pastor who said, I don't want to see you there on Sunday. And that was how, because after the city said we shouldn't come, we were there for almost 6 months. Do you agree with me? Yeah, almost 6 months we were still there. We removed the sign. Exactly. To sell the garage to us. We were even negotiating. Not knowing that the city will not even approve it, because they were saying that that place is commercial. And you know the city of Harvey that time, they said they needed money. Don't want anybody that will not pay tax. Churches don't pay tax. Until in the process of searching, I was at one big church. Maybe we can use the assignment in Taunton. And the man said, where are you from? I said, well, I'm an American. I live in Harvey. He said, okay, yes, I understand that. He said, but where are you from originally? I said, I'm from Nigeria. And the man said, the pastor said, can anything good come out of that country? And I told him, I said, yeah, something better can come. Do you know that the one we worship today, some people have said it as well. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That was how I replied him that day. He said, even Jesus Christ that we worship today, some people saw him as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Anything good can never come from that city. But here we are today is the one we are worshiping. Then he said, okay, God help you, I'll give you a call. He never gave me any call. Because I know he has, until we moved to that place in the basement. And I remember getting to that basement, it was as if it has been prepared for us. But the pastor also told me, said, we have been expecting people to come and share this place with us. We never knew it's going to be an African church. We are thinking it's going to be Hispanic or Caucasian. I said, well, God has, and thank God for all our stay in that church. I still said it. Compared with our mother church, when we rented a space, with the way that man dealt with us, it was a godly manner. Because he never increased our rent for a day, for the 4 years or so that we spent in that place. And I remember our mother church, Household of Faith, renting a space with another pastor. In Lansing that time, we started with 2,000. The following year, it was 4,000. Yes. The following year, it was 6,000. It got to a stage where the church could not afford, because at that time, the church has now bought a building that they are trying to renovate. So paying mortgage and paying rent, the church has to move out. Take all their belongings into somebody's private residence. While the place they are preparing was going on. But God was so faithful to us that he just led us to all those places. Mind you too, one thing that I want to praise God for, all those places that were rented, if they have asked for the credit report of the pastor, we wouldn't have been there. Because at that time, the pastor was struggling. Credit report was nothing to write to me about. So if they say, okay, you want to rent an apartment, okay, we have to do credit check. And they put your pastor's name, it would have been what? Zero. But God never allowed that. Everything just went smoothly until we came to this place. And this is why I want us to rise this morning. You will rise on your feet. First of all, so we thank God for being faithful to you. God has been faithful. In your health, he has been faithful. When you look at your health, you will discover that God has been what? Faithful. Look at the testimonies our brothers gave. God has been faithful. He has increased us. I am proud to announce today that at least today, over 50% of the families in this church are mortgage-free. Over 50% of us. These are people who came without hope. These are people, when God called us to start, we just went with faith. Look at where we are today. Will our faith make God to vouch for us? Any test that is brought before you, God will give you the grace to pass it. I want you to believe that. God gave Abraham the grace, even after traveling for 3 days, to slaughter his only son for sacrifice. God gave him the grace to cope. God will give you the grace to cope. Just thank him, magnify him, bless him, worship him. He is good. He will give you the grace to stand. No matter the plan of the enemy, you will stand. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We are going to pray. Father, let my daily attitudes show you to other people. The way I behave at work, the way I carry myself on the street, let it show. Let people know, see me and know right away that I am a child of God. Let the whole world know that I have you. And there are so many ways. I want to live a life of obedience to your word. I will live a life of obedience to your words all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Because God can vouch for Isaiah, God asked him, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, send me. We are going to pray, Father, send me this morning. Send me. Send me with your gospel, Lord. Send me with your word. Let my hands become a hands of blessing. Let the word that comes out of my mouth become words of blessing. So that anyone I bless will remain blessed. I will not have cause to curse anybody in the name of Jesus. But whoever I curse shall be cursed. Bless me, Lord. Transform the word of my mouth. Transform my hands. Let my legs walk into miracle. Let my hands turn my hands into instruments of joy, instruments of peace, instruments of breakthrough in the mighty name of Jesus. When temptations come, Lord, I will overcome to your glory. When temptations come, I will overcome. I will overcome. I will overcome. In the mighty name of Jesus. As you sustain the Rechabites, sustain me. Every good thing that I have been taught, Father, let it remain with me. Make me a doer of the word. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. This morning, our daddy who gave us the word at the workers' meeting mentioned one very important statement. He said, anything that has a beginning will have an end. Why Has God not have an end? Because he has no beginning. He is the Almighty. Therefore, Lord, you are going to pray. What are those things that you want God to bring to an end in your life? You have heard the testimony. In this house of God, we thank God for how far God accepts us when it comes to housing. It's a prayer we pray every day. Father, we want to be mortgage free. Many of us, where we come from, we are not used to paying mortgage. When they say, this is my house, it's my house forever. No bank will be pursuing me all over the place. So what do you want God to do for you? Your mortgage has a beginning, it can have an end. That problem has a beginning, it will have an end. But God must be able to vouch for you. God must be able to vouch for you that you will not go back. Nothing is impossible for our God. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. His mercies endure forever. Nothing is impossible for him. Is it about your status in this country? Tell God you want him to settle you. And he will do it. Is it about your papers? He will settle you. Are you still trying to write your license? He will settle you. And once you get it, it will never be taken away from you. Your faith will not let you down. In the mighty name of Jesus. Write my name in the book of life. Write my name, Lord, in the book of life. I glorify you, my Father, because you are mighty. Because you answer prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Praise the Lord. God bless you.